Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, as we consider the opening verse of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, we see that it represents to us, it unfolds to us some things about the Apostle Paul and shows us why he was such an effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, number one, because he was an apostle of Christ by the will of God. And he tells us that in the opening verse. And it was, number two, because he was a mentor for the cause of Christ, and that pertains to his relationship to Timothy. For we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. But there's even a third relationship that is important in the opening of this epistle, which we will get to in due season. And all three of these together speak of the same thing. Paul is an example of how to effectively serve Christ in a variety of ways and differing circumstances. And we can learn a great deal. For example, the fact that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ is something that none of us will be called upon to do because there are no more apostles, but how faithfully he fulfilled his assignment, how faithfully he carried out God's call upon his life, how willingly he received that call and carried out what turned out to be a very challenging and difficult assignment is an example to all of us. I am helped by the example of the Apostle Paul, not because I am an apostle. He's not an example to me in the same sense that he was an example, say, to the other apostles, because I'm not an apostle, but he was an example to the other apostles, and he says in one place that he was more zealous in carrying out his apostolic responsibilities than any of the others. He certainly was an example to them, but he's an example to me, and he's an example to you. Not because I'm an apostle, but because I want to be similarly faithful, committed, surrendered, zealous in the office that God has called me to. And I trust that you have that same desire for whatever area of ministry God has given to you. And so we'll continue this study on this Thursday, August 13. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting us by your gifts, which are necessary to keep this broadcast on this station. Well, Paul was an exemplary apostle of Jesus Christ. We know that. We're thankful for that. But Paul was also an effective mentor for the cause of Christ, and that takes us to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. And we learned in the broadcast yesterday that Timothy was a young man in the church at Lystra, or Lystra, first named in Acts chapter 16, one who had the commendation of his home church and whose potential was recognized by the Apostle Paul, and he wanted to take Timothy with him on the missionary team to travel with Paul and to be trained by Paul and to be shaped by Paul into a useful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not just any servant. All believers are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some faithful and some not so faithful, but all of us are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Timothy was going to be a minister of the gospel. He was going to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ as a preacher, in fact, as an evangelist. But he is introduced here as our brother. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Interesting. He's really introduced here by Paul as a co-author of the epistle. At least he's found in that part of the epistle where the author is identified. We talked about that form that epistles followed in the first century in which the author of the epistle was identified first, not last, like in our letters today, where we sign them at the end. But the author was identified at the beginning of the epistle. And Paul is the author, but he places Timothy in that same spot, almost as if he is a co-author. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. You can see why that language would seem to identify Timothy as a co-author. But notice that he is called our brother, not an apostle. Now that takes us back to what we said previously about apostles, and I'm not going to go through all that again, but this is just confirmation of it. Paul was an apostle. Timothy was not an apostle. If there was anybody that we would have expected Paul to have conferred apostleship upon, if Paul had that authority, it would have been upon Timothy. All you have to do is study carefully the New Testament account of the relationship between Paul and Timothy, and you'll find that Timothy was Paul's most valued partner in the work of the gospel, his most faithful co-worker in the gospel. He was the one that Paul passed on many of his apostolic responsibilities to, and yet he does not call Timothy an apostle, not here, not anywhere in the New Testament. The New Testament closes, and Paul has not laid his hands upon Timothy and say, "I now ordain you an apostle of Jesus Christ. I, who am an apostle of Jesus Christ, have the responsibility to ordain my successor, and I will ordain you my successor. You are now the next apostle of Jesus Christ in this line of succession." Nope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now that's Christian language that we're familiar with. Our brother. He was a brother to Paul, spiritually speaking, of course. This is in reference to the family of God. We call one another brother and sister. And the older ones may call the younger ones their sons and daughters in the faith. And younger ones may look to the older ones as their mothers and fathers in the faith. But there's this family relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. I have one physical brother, and I thank the Lord that he's also my Christian brother. And I'm grateful for that. And I am very pleased with his Christian commitment and development. It's a great source of encouragement to me. So he is both my brother in the flesh and my brother in the faith. But though I only have one brother in the flesh, I have hundreds and thousands of brothers in the faith. Even more than that, that I haven't met, that I don't know, but thousands that I have met, and that I do know to some extent, and how wonderful it is to have all these brothers. And Timothy is introduced in that role. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. My brother, Paul, but other brothers. He's brother to other members of the missionary endeavor. He's brother to other members of the Ephesian church that was really the place where Paul ministered that the Church of Colossae got its beginning. He is brother to the members of the Colossian church. Had they met him? Did they know him personally? That we do not know. We know that Paul had never been to Colossae. We don't know that Timothy had never been to Colossae, but neither do we have any indication that he had. We just simply don't know. But that really isn't the point. He would not have to have been there to be called their brother. He is brother by virtue of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or let's put it this way, he is their brother by virtue of the fact that he, like them, has been called by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. You know, that's the thing about the body of Christ. God chooses our Christian relatives. We don't. It's been said that we can choose our friends but not our relatives. Have you heard that saying? The idea is you don't have to be friends with everybody. You can choose who to be friends with, and there's a certain amount of truth in that. You don't have to be enemies of the people who are not your friends, but you don't have to be buddy-buddies with everybody. You don't have to have the same level of friendship with everybody. You can choose your friends, but not your relatives. You're stuck with your relatives, and nearly everybody has some relatives that are challenging indeed. Oh, boy. I wish my sister hadn't married that knucklehead, you hear somebody saying. I wish my brother hadn't married that woman. Oh, boy, these relatives, these people that are in my family, that these nieces, these nephews, these step people, relationships, stepfather, stepmother, whatever they may be, I didn't choose them, I wouldn't choose them, but I'm stuck with them, is kind of the attitude that sometimes we have. I didn't choose them, but I've got to relate to them. I can't cut them off. Not if I'm going to be civil about it, and certainly if I'm not going to be Christian about it. They are my relatives for better or for worse, and sometimes it's worse, but nevertheless, I didn't choose them, but they're mine. Somebody else chose them for me. My brother did, my sister did, my mother, after my father died, married that man who is now my stepfather. Somebody else chose these relatives for me. I'm going to have to make the most of it. Well, dear friend, did you ever stop to think that the same is true in the family of God? We have a biblical, God-given responsibility to relate to other people of like precious faith as we would members of our family. This saying, you can choose your friends but not your family, you can't take the first part of that saying to apply to people in the body of Christ. Well, I'll choose to be friends with certain members of the church, but I'm not going to get close to those. I'm going to have as little to do as possible with those. Well, you can't really do that. She's your sister in Christ. He's your brother in Christ. You really don't have the privilege of distancing yourself from them. They are part of the family. You have to treat them like family. You have to be kind to them. You have to be loving to them. That's the scriptural commandment, to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, I don't like having them in the family. I want to decide who's in the family. I want to decide who I recognize as being in the family. Not your church, Christ's church. You don't get to choose. Christ already chose. And therefore, we've got to learn this lesson, submit ourselves to it as a matter of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask Him for help and grace to act according to His word in regard to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a lot of sanctifying power that will be applied to us in that effort, and God has designed it so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.